Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 1st through Sunday, July 7th, 2024. The commentary for July was written by Aaron Morey, an Episcopal priest and attorney who lives with many rescue pets in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The commentary for Monday, July 1st, begins with a passage from Psalm 106, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And it is on this day, July 1st, that we commemorate the life of Pauli Murray. Here's the commentary for this day. Today, the Episcopal Church commemorates the life of the Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray. Like me, Pauli was a lawyer before being ordained a priest. Pauli was also a poet and an activist for racial and gender equality. Reading Pauli's autobiography, Song in a Weary Throat, I felt a clear call to ordain ministry for the first time. My seminary field education assignment was at the parish where Pauli's chaplain served, and just this week I helped lead worship with another priest who knew Pauli. This verse from Psalm 106 recurs in various iterations throughout Scripture. I particularly love its appearance in Ezra 3, verse 11. There the whole assembly of God's people sing it together at the dedication of the rebuilt temple. Some people sing it with joy and hope, but some sing it while weeping from the trauma they have endured during their exile. It touches my heart to know that God's people have been singing this song together, shaped by the words generation after generation, just as Pauli's song has helped shape my life. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Psalm 106, verses 1 through 18. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mightily doings of the Lord, or declare all his praise? Happy are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you deliver them, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory in your heritage. Both we and our ancestors have sinned. We have committed iniquity, have done wickedly. Our ancestors, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wonderful works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled against the Most High at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, so that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry. He led them through the deep as through a desert. So he saved them from the hand of the foe and delivered them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. But they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. They were jealous of Moses in the camp and of Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram. Fire also broke out in their company. the flame burned up the wicked. And now I'm going to read the question, the moving forward question for this Monday, July 1st. It is, what does your song of thanksgiving sound like to you? The commentary for Tuesday, July 2nd, begins with a passage from the book of Numbers, chapter 22, verse 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" In this unusual story, the prophet Balaam is commanded by a king to curse the people of Israel. God warns Balaam not to curse the people, for they are blessed. When Balaam eventually travels with the king's officials, God sets an angel in their path to stop them. Balaam's donkey sees the angel and stops several times. Balaam, who fails to see the angel, prods the donkey to continue the ill-conceived mission. Finally, God gives the donkey the power of speech so it can tell Balaam straight out that what he is doing is wrong and in opposition to God's relationship with God's people. I have been fortunate to experience the jaw-dropping beauty of synchronous fireflies, which blink simultaneously like Christmas lights. Logging, gas drilling, and pesticide use threaten these populations. Fireflies face additional threats of habitat loss, light pollution, pesticides, water pollution, and invasive species. I worry that fireflies are telling us something about God, but we are not listening. And now I'm going to read from the full passage for Numbers, chapter 22, verses 21 through 38. So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the officials of Moab. God's anger was kindled because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the road as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. So the donkey turned off the road and went into the field, and Balaam struck the donkey to turn it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on either side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it scraped against the wall and scraped Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck it again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn the angel to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you right now." But the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I been in the habit of treating you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down, falling on his face. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? I have come out as an adversary because your way is perverse for me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let it live." Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, therefore, if it is displeasing to you, I will return home." The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you to speak." So Balaam went on with the officials of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him at Ir Moab, on the boundary formed by the Arnon at the farthest point of the boundary. Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not send to summon you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" Balaam said to Balak, "Have I come to you now? But do I have power to say just anything? The word God puts in my mouth, that is what I must say." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, July 2nd, is, what is God saying to you through the natural world? Is something keeping you from listening? The commentary for Wednesday, July 3rd, begins with a passage from the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 7, verse 19. "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." My parish is named for Paul. I have a tattoo of a boat that reminds me to spread God's love wherever I am, just as Paul did when he was shipwrecked on Malta. Paul was single-minded in his devotion to sharing and living this message. He traveled to spread the good news across the known world, enduring the incarceration, suffering, and even death. When I read these words in Romans, I wonder if even Paul couldn't keep himself from failing to live the life God called him to. What hope is there for me? My son used to worry and ask me whether he was a good person. I would half-jokingly reassure him, "Don't worry, we are all tied for last place." Feeling like we can never do enough or be good enough is discouraging. But the truth is, we will never be good enough, and we are also already good enough. We are human. We fail to do good. We hurt others and ourselves. But God is perfect goodness and love itself. That love frees us from being stuck in evil, hatred, and hurt. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of Romans chapter 7, verses 13 through 25. "Did what is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin working death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the moving forward statement for this Wednesday is, "Today, do good for the sheer joy of sharing love." Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, July 4th, the day on which we celebrate Independence Day here in the United States of America. Today's commentary begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 44. "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." I grew up in the Roman Catholic tradition. Last 4th of July, my mother invited me to pray the rosary for each state in the United States with some friends from her Roman Catholic congregation. My mother warned me they were more politically conservative than I am, but were excited to have me join them. I decided to go to the prayer service. The friends were pleased to meet me and said they prayed for my ministry as a priest. A few weeks before, I participated in an interfaith pride Shabbat service. That evening and the following day at my town's pride celebration, many people shared about the religious trauma they had suffered as members of the LGBTQIA+ community. I affirmed the unfairness of their pain. Many people were gratefully shocked that a church had a table at Pride. But at one point, an angry man approached my parish's table and shouted Bible verses about sin at me. Navigating division is never easy, but God's invitation to celebrate together remains open. And now I'm going to read the full passage of the Gospel of Matthew for this day, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday, July 4th, the next time someone makes you angry, imagine sitting beside them at the heavenly banquet. The commentary for Friday, July 5th begins with a passage from Numbers chapter 24, verse 5. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel. Toward the end of the book of Exodus, during one of Moses' encounters with God on Mount Sinai, God tells Moses, "Have them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them." I am fascinated by the incredibly specific way God describes how to build and decorate this space. For several chapters, God specifies things like the exact dimensions of tables and the kind of wood to use in making them. God describes tiny details down to the color and pattern of the curtains. Those texts are compiled during the period of exile in Babylon. One day I thought about the fact that the writers far from home were describing a physical space that no longer existed in this world. I relished these words that became a worship space for God's people, that became their altar, lights, and curtains. I am grateful for the opportunity to enter that beautiful space with them. I am deeply moved that I may join my voice and heart with theirs, and that we can rejoice in God's beauty together. And now I'm going to read from Numbers chapter 24, verses 1 through 13. Now Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, so he did not go, as at other times, to look for omens, but set his face toward the wilderness. Balaam looked up and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he uttered his oracle, saying, "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is clear, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down, but with eyes uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel! Like palm groves that stretch far away, like gardens beside a river, like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the waters. water shall flow from his buckets, and his seed shall have abundant water. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God who brings him out of Egypt is like the horns of a wild ox for him. He shall devour the nations that are his foes and break their bones. He shall strike with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down like a lion and like a lioness. Who will rouse him up? Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you. Then Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. Balak said to Balaam, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but instead you have blessed them these three times. Now be off with you. Go home, I said. I will reward you richly, but the Lord has denied you any reward. And Balaam said to Balak, Did I not tell your messengers whom you sent to me? If Balak should give me his house full of silver and gold, I would not be able to go beyond the word of the Lord, to do either good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that is what I will say. And the moving forward question for this Friday, July 5th, is there a beautiful physical space where you go to encounter God? Go there or create one. The commentary for Saturday, July 6th, begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. I had complications during my pregnancy and a very difficult delivery. It felt like lifting the heaviest weight I had ever carried, and then being asked to pick up even more. It was odd to come back to the same hospital 10 years later for cancer treatment, and I felt the same way about how hard it was. I found it oddly hopeful to step into a place where I might die while other people were being born. I don't know why there is suffering in this world. It doesn't seem to make sense, given God's love. This tension aches like a pregnant person in labor, and I look forward to its end, a new heaven and a new earth, where we will live in love and unity, in the embodied fullness of our being. And I am grateful for the gift of my not-yet-resurrected body, right now, that allows me to experience God's love for me in this world. And I'm going to read this full passage from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, how can you experience God's love with your body and senses today? Now, as we near the end of the week and the end of our program, let's look at the commentary for Sunday, July 7th, the seventh Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 3a. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Finley Peter Dunn, a journalist, once wrote that news existed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I believe the same is true of religion. This theme echoes through Scripture, including in Mary's revolutionary Magnificat in the Gospel of Luke. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. I have a T-shirt that I love, made by Episcopalian artist Benjamin Wildflower, that depicts Mary saying these words with a fist raised in the air and her feet crushing a snake and a skull. God's love is not just a pleasant feeling. It has power, and that power turns the entire world upside down. This is a liberating message for people who are suffering, but it can be a scary thing for people who benefit from the status quo. But even though we may feel differently about receiving this message, we are all fortunate to be liberated from evil and death, especially when we are complicit in it. And now I'm going to read from Mark 6, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown, and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, July 7th, how can you join in God's work of lifting up those who are hurt and forgotten? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me again for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.